you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The coverage tomorrow will begin at 12 o'clock with the game at 1. Sunday's coverage is going to begin at 12:30 with the game at 1:30. And one of the guys you'll be seeing is the great Jack Curry. Does a fine job in studio. Jack, thank you very much for coming on. Evan Roberts, Tiki Barber, how you doing today, man?
Hey, Evan. Hey, Tiki. I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Good. Let's start with the move that they made. Was this the guy they wanted? I mean, you had mentioned recently that maybe they weren't that interested in Suarez. We had heard about Arenado. Was Ryan McMahon the guy that Cash really targeted to be the upgrade at third base?
So the vibe I was getting from the Yankees all week was that the third base market was interesting in this way. Suarez is the marquee name. We all know that. It's the home run power. Mm-hmm. It's bringing that power into the middle of your lineup. You talk about him from the defensive side, you're not getting what you want. The Yankees have a lot of pitchers on their staff who are ground ball pitchers. So in their quest to get a third baseman, as appealing as a guy like Suarez was offensively, defensively they didn't see it. And that's why those talks, from what I was told, never really gained any traction. You say defense. What about Ke'Bryan Hayes with the Pirates? He's got the lineage with his father having played here. You look at his offense, it has totally sagged. So I guess as I'm backing into an answer here, Evan, you look at McMahon, you get the defense and you get the promising offense. He's right. Had 520 home run seasons in his career. And the other thing is the Yankees believe they can unlock some stuff with him. He's a lefty swinger. They think at Yankee Stadium his swing is going to play for this reason. He actually has a career-high fly ball pull percentage. What do you want at Yankee Stadium with a left-handed hitter?
Right.
You want a guy who can pull the ball. And so I think that they believed in the end this was their best bet. He's locked up for a couple of years. And quite honestly, they didn't have to give up one of their top prospects. They gave up a couple of minor league pitchers who have put up some good numbers, but they didn't have to give up some of those top guys who they, I think, are going to end up hanging on to.
Yeah, the only thing that Evan told us earlier, is that his splay chart shows a lot of his home runs going to left center, which actually doesn't make him an ideal home run hitter at Yankee Stadium. That's neither here nor there. Maybe they corrected. Who knows? But was there concern about the down year that he's having offensively? He's hitting .217. The home runs are reasonable. 16 home runs already with 60 games to go. But still, was there any kind of concern about his offense declining and maybe not being who he was in those previous seasons?
So the left center thing you brought up, Tiki, is very interesting. I want to address that real quickly first. I do think the Yankees will get him into their hitting lab and sort of see what kind of swing mechanics and all that can potentially change and then make him a better fit for Yankee Stadium. But by the way, if he wants to hit a few doubles into left center, they'll take that.
Yeah.
In answer to the other part of your question, I will say this. He's better, way better than what they had. Their third baseman this year, it's been a black hole. So I think they look at McMahon and say, listen, here's a young guy who we know is going to give, well, young, I mean, he's 30 years old, but he'll give you the defense and there's hope and there's promise on the offensive side. And you're right, the power numbers, 16 homers is pretty good, but there's been a lot of strikeouts. He's got almost 130 strikeouts. So I would never say, no, it's not a concern. Not a concern that the guy's only hitting .217. But from the Yankee people I spoke to today, they have optimism that Ryan McMahon will be a better offensive player with them than he's been so far this season.
Has there been any discussion around trying to upgrade even shortstop? Anthony Volpe has gone backwards defensively this year. His bat has been quiet for a month. Are they content with Volpe at shortstop, or has there been any talk of even trying to improve at that
position? It's an interesting question, Evan, and I was watching MLB Network. I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago. Joe Maddon, very respected former major league manager, won a World Series with the Cubs. He was advocating for Volpe to be sent down, and he used Alvarez of the Mets as an example.
Yeah,
kind of a timeout, let the kid catch his breath. What I would answer to that is Joe might be a little late on that because I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I think in the last three games or four games, Volpe's got three home runs. Right. So if you're ever going to do something like what Joe Maddon said, it probably would have happened already. And as far as what you said, I think the Yankees believe in Volpe. We've seen how strongly Boone has defended him. I have seen a regression defensively, which has surprised me, because I was always impressed from day one with Volpe's defense. He plays shortstop almost the way a goalie would be moving on the soccer field. His feet move fast. He gets to the ball. He doesn't have the strongest arm, but you don't really notice it because of his speed and aggressiveness. This year, guys, that hasn't been there. And when you're not even a 700 OPS guy and the defense is not coming along for the ride, that's why you're going to get all these questions, Evan, including the one you just asked. I think they're committed to Volpe.
Yeah, they're committed to him, but is there room to give him days off here or there just to collect himself? You know, because there's some stretches where he seems unplayable sometimes, especially when you factor in how bad he was defensively over the last couple of weeks.
Tiki, I've mentioned that on our post game a bunch of times, that I get that he's 24 years old, but no one is indestructible. Mm-hmm. And I think what has maybe prohibited them or stopped them from doing that is that Peraza has just been a real offensive disappointment this year.
Right.
Remember, it was only a couple years ago that Peraza and Volpe went head-to-head for this shortstop position, and I covered that spring training, and there were times in that spring training where I thought, wow, Peraza might win this. Peraza's pretty slick defensively. He's had a cup of coffee in the major leagues. Maybe he's the guy, and they give Volpe a little more seasoning. So had Peraza been a better option offensively, I think you would have seen Volpe get some more days off. It's an excellent question, though. I think it's something that could have helped. Guys, I know from talking to the likes of Paul O'Neill and John Flaherty and David Cone, these guys that I work with all the time, sometimes you just need a mental break.
Yeah.
Sometimes that mental break gears you up where I don't have to think about baseball today. I'm not playing today. I can work on some stuff in the cage. So I'm in agreement with you that I think that's something that could have happened along the way.
We're talking to Jack Curry, Yes Network. Post-game coverage tonight after the Yankee game. Regular games on Apple TV. Both games Saturday and Sunday will be on Yes. Spencer Jones may not have room to play at the major league level right now, but does there come a point where he's tearing up AAA at such a crazy level that he almost forces the Yankees to figure something out to get him up here?
So it's interesting that you say that, Evan. I work with guy named Connor Foley at the Yes Network, and he's our minor league guru. He used to cover Scranton as a newspaper writer, and now he works with us at Yes. He was tweeting about Spencer Jones yesterday, and sort of tongue-in-cheek, because I don't have the answer to your question, I said, does Spencer force their hand? So I was thinking the same thing as you yesterday. excuse me, guys, Tiki knows this as an athlete. Make the team's decision hard.
Right.
Force them to make a decision on you. Keep playing the way that you're playing. And if I can sit here right now as a studio analyst and say, well, how do you fit him in? I mean, Grisham's here and Dominguez has to play. And obviously Judge is going to play. And I think Bellinger should play every day. Keep playing the way you're playing if you're Spencer Jones. And who knows? Maybe there is a way that Spencer Jones forces his way in. I don't frankly know how that happens, but as I said, keep doing what you're doing and have that kind of renaissance. I know he's really impressed the organization, guys, because he's been willing to make changes. He's been willing to make adjustments. There were things that weren't working. And if you look at his stance from even a year ago and look at the stance that he's employing now at AAA, he's more hunched over. He's more wide open. And he's when you open your stance, you're seeing the ball better, and that's what I see with Spencer Jones.
Yeah, no, it's been miraculous from 2024 to 2025 with both double and triple A this year, only double a year ago. But if he did come up, let's just say that he keeps knocking at that door, throws his big size, I'm sure it's like a 15-foot into the door and busts it open, does that mean that Jason Dominguez might have to go down?
Well, if we were playing hypothetically, Dominguez would be the player who has options.
Yeah.
So, yes. Do I think that's going to happen today? No. I know Dominguez recently had an 0-for-18, but I like what Dominguez has given the Yankees this year. If you remind yourself that he's 22 years old, we had a number when they played the Futures game at the All-Star game. Now, remember, this Futures game is kids who are on their way to the major league. So they're AA, AAA kids. think there were 50 kids in the Futures game. I think there were half of them were older than Jason Dominguez. So it's a reminder that Dominguez is here. He's going to take some lumps. There's going to be some hurdles and some obstacles. He's already conquered one of them. He was a black hole as a right-handed batter for the first part of the season. Now when he has gotten a chance to get some right-handed at-bats, they've been representative at-bats. I think he's gotten better defensively in the outfield. Is he Grisham or Bellinger out there? No, not even close. But I think he's gotten better defensively, too.
Are Spencer Jones and Jason Dominguez untouchable at the trade deadline?
I believe so. I'm not in those meetings with the Yankees. I don't know what kind of calls they're making. But I asked someone in the know not too long ago. I didn't include Dominguez, but I asked someone in the know about Schlittler and Jones. And the person said to me, they would have to be overwhelmed to trade one of those two players. Overwhelmed means you're getting a big piece. You're getting a marquee piece. I'm looking at a trade list of guys in front of me right now, and it's somebody who obviously you'd be getting some years of control with. Mm-hmm. Would you trade Spencer Jones for a Class A or a Duran from the Twins? I don't know that I would. I mean, there are other relievers. I think
Duran
there are other
and someone
ways
else, maybe.
Yeah,
right. Right. Your bullpen. Right. If you're telling me an everyday player, a guy that's going to contribute every day, but I don't know that there's one of those out there right now that I would part with Jones or Schlittler for. And guys, I got to tell you, I know that you've got to cover all sports on FAN. I don't know how much of Schlittler's two starts that you've seen, and granted, it's only 10 or 11 innings.
Right.
This kid looks legit to me.
Oh, he looks electric.
Triple digits, pounds the zone, and the poise. I'm sure as a former athlete, Tiki, and you too, Evan. I don't want to leave you out, but you notice the guy's poise on the field. And man, he had a couple of moments in his first start where I've seen young pitchers kind of, man, I'm in trouble now. This kid was, give me the ball. I'm going to get you out.
Well, especially when he's facing Cal Riley, who was hitting, at that point, I think it hit 38 home runs. He just flew 100 past him, right, for his first strikeout. It was impressive. There's certain kids that you see, Jack, that you know they get it right away. I always say this about rookies in the NFL. I hate them because they don't know what it takes. But a guy like Jeremy Shockey, remember when he first came here? Like, he got it immediately. You just knew he was going to be a star, and I feel that way about Cam. Now, we've gotten one move here with the Yankees. Brian Cashman told us that he was going to town. I don't think he's quite there yet, but what should we expect going forward for the next 6 days until the trade deadline?
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I knew you guys were going to ask me that, and I would have loved to. Well, actually, I would rather go on Yes and be able to say they're getting this guy. But since I'm on WFAN right now, I wish I could tell you guys.
Right.
I will say this. They are going to get pitching. And in talking to some people this week, I tried to narrow some guys down. And the response I kept getting was the Yankees are casting a very wide net. Mm. They realize their bullpen needs to be fortified. So they're looking everywhere. They're looking at every player. And the other thing, as we've talked about, the Schlittlers and the Spencer Joneses, and forget Lombard Jr., they're not trading him. They're trying to thread that needle of, can you get an upgrade in an arm while giving up something that you feel makes the deal equitable for you? Right. So I think that's the position that they're in right now, guys. But you mentioned it. I don't think Brian Cashman, as veteran a GM as he is, would have had that press conference and said all the things he said and then gotten to next Thursday and said, well, this is our team. There's going to be more moves to come.
What level of starting pitcher are we looking at? I mean, you've got a guy like Dylan Cease who may be out there. You've got more back end of the rotation arms. Like, what kind of level of starting pitcher do you think Brian's trying to bring in?
So if you are talking about a guy like Cease, and I know it's a rental, and I know Gallen's a rental, and Merrill Kelly is a rental. Last year, Baseball America reported that no top 100 prospects were traded for a rental. Mm. So if you could get one of those guys that I just mentioned, now if you say to me you're trying to make a deal for Mitch Keller with the Pirates, who's got 3.5 years of control.
Yeah, it's different.
They're going to want your top. And they're legitimately in line to ask for a top guy. So, again, I think the net is cast pretty wide, Evan. But I just know that there are some players that in the Yankees' eyes are off limits in turn. And I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. The other day, I'm going to be honest myself. The other day on Yes, I said that the Yankees were not overly exuberant about the third base options. I knew Suarez was definitely off to the side. I knew that Hayes. Now, I did put McMahon on the third least liked, so I guess I had that sort of right. I said they love his defense. You got some control, but they're wondering about the offense. They solved the offensive issue. In terms of the starting pitching, it takes one text, one phone call where somebody might put something in front of your nose and you say, wow, they really got to go and get that.
Right.
Would they view, like, if they could add a starter, and you mentioned that it wouldn't cost the top 100 prospect, especially if it's a free agent to be like a Merrill Kelly, would Cam Schlittler become appealing as maybe the bullpen addition by moving him to the bullpen with the electric stuff he has? Almost like that's the bullpen addition, acquiring a starter and moving him and making him be a weapon out of the bullpen?
Evan, you're talking like a GM. I love it.
That's right.
I had a conversation with someone today, and when I talked about starter versus reliever and heel coming back and what does heel's potential return mean, and the person I spoke with said, well, some guys will just move down. And you're right. Schlittler could be that guy. I don't know what they're going to do with Stroman. Stroman's a veteran, very savvy, very cagey. If you're asking me right now, who do I think gives them a better chance to win a game, Schlittler or Stroman? Kind of like what Schlittler has done. And I'm talking about when Heel comes back, someone's going to have to be sacrificed. But
right.
Evan, you bring up a great point. That stuff will play in the bullpen, and it also give the Yankees something they don't have enough of, multi-inning guys. I mean, they don't have that because Cruz is down. Weaver is really the only guy you'll trust for a couple of innings. Boy, to have Schlittler come in, say, cover the sixth, seventh, maybe even eighth inning and then go to a closer, that would be a weapon.
Even though he's young and we've been impressed by the two outings that he's been, when you look at his profile from a pitch standpoint, fastball, a little bit of sliders, it feels like a reliever. You know what I mean? It feels like someone who can get three outs or six outs if you need to, and him not being afraid of that moment is something that is exciting to think about. Now, in execution, we don't know. We've only seen him a couple of times.
You got the mentality, and I'm going to do a little plug here. So whenever he pitches next, I forget if it's Tuesday or Wednesday, make sure to watch our pregame because you just talked about his arsenal, Tiki.
Yeah.
I got a little tip from somebody about something else that he's working on. So we're going to dig in on Schlittler's repertoire.
Oh, nice.
Something new might be seeing that he's been working
That's
on.
That's called a tease right there.
Well done. Yeah, there you go.
TV veteran, Jacker. He knows what's going on.
Saturday's
coverage begins at noon. Sunday's coverage begins at 12:30 on Yes Yankees over the weekend against the Phillies. The top-end relievers, you mentioned briefly Johan Duran, Emmanuel Clase. I have no idea if those guys are going to be traded, but I've mentioned this in regards to the Mets and the Yankees. Both teams have closers who are free agents at the end of the year. And I don't know what Devin Williams is going to get paid on the Mets side. Edwin Diaz has an opt-out. Luke Weaver's a free agent. Does that, if you're thinking long-term, if you're a Cashman, is there appeal to not just acquiring a guy who builds a super pen this year, but kind of protecting yourself from the unknown of free agency, considering both Devin Williams and Luke Weaver are going to the unknown of free agency?
I think when they're sitting in those meetings, Evan, I absolutely believe that you're right, that somebody brings that up, that somebody, if there might be someone in the room who's speaking against the deal and saying, well, how can we give up that player? And someone will say, well, you get closer X, not only for this year, but for the next 2.5 years. And you're right. That's protection against who knows what the future will bring. I absolutely believe that that's part of the dialogue. It has to be. Teams, not just the Yankees, teams would not be doing their jobs if they didn't have that as part of the dialogue.
Right. One of the other rumors or speculation that you heard a couple of days ago, I believe, maybe it was even yesterday, is that teams are calling about Ben Rice. And look, the error is notwithstanding from the other day. It is what it is. He's not a first baseman. He's a catcher and a DH. We know this. But what is the likelihood that he gets moved or he stays?
I saw that report. I think it was Joel Sherman who had
yes.
that report.
Yes.
And I know other people have talked about, scouts who have been following the Yankees, and then after a long spell without catching, suddenly Ben Rice was getting a couple of shots to catch. And was that just giving teams a little idea of what he can bring? I will say this about Ben Rice. I think when you have a kid drafted where he was drafted, I think he was drafted in the 10th or 12th round, and he puts in the work that he puts in, and he comes in this year, and this guy is hitting the ball as hard.
Right.
I think he's in top 7 or top 8 in the American League in hard hit percentage and barrel percentage and his exit velocity. I would really have to – it would have to be something coming back that was very desirable for me to suddenly think that a 25-year-old, I think he's 25-year-old, Rice is expendable. Because, Tiki, you're right about the ball he booted the other night, but I'm not sure what Goldschmidt's future holds. He was a one-year signing.
Of course.
I always thought that if the Yankees want to stay young and affordable in certain positions, because you can't have a $30 million player at every position, I assume Rice is their first baseman next year. So
makes sense.
I would have to really be impressed with an offer to include Ben Rice in it. I'm not surprised teams are calling about him, though.
It will be an interesting 6 days. Trade deadline on Thursday. Yankee game tonight's on Apple, but the post-game show on Yes, Saturday and Sunday, all on the Yes Network, and you'll get to see this guy, Jack Curry. Jack, we appreciate you coming on for a few minutes. Thank you, man.
Jack.
Hey, Evan. Hey, Tiki. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Jack Curry, who to Yankee fans, that's the guy you want to hear. He is as clued in as anybody when it comes to what they're going to do at the trade deadline. And so far, one down, I think two to go.
Yeah.
They've added the third baseman in Ryan McMahon. I think they're going to add a starter. I think they're going to add a reliever. Who they are?
Well, it sounded like Jack's going to tell the Yes Network when he next time he's on, so be sure to watch that.
Yes. Well, when he breaks the news, he'll be ready to go.
Right.
We'll come back. We'll get back to your phone calls, 888-808-1019. We'll set you up for this weekend's action. Met fans better be rooting for the Yankees as they take on the Phillies, and the Mets are doing West Coast baseball out in San Francisco.
Doing damage.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.